This is our mission as a church. This is our mission, to walk in love by the great commandment, to make disciples, to go out and teach people the good news, and then allow God to bless our lives to make us a blessing. Amen? So that's what we're all about. So we want everybody to remember that as we continue to move forward. Amen? All right, so let's get into, I'm going to skip this, let the Holy Spirit lead us here. So we'll get into something else. Today we're going to start a series about transformation. Amen? So we're going to pray over the word, and we're going to get into this for a second. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. We give you praise and glory. Thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word is life. Your word is strength to us. And we thank you that your word makes changes in us. Your word causes us to see you for who you are and see us for who we are. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have created us to be shaped into the image of Christ. And we believe that you will begin the process of making transformation in our lives. We thank you for us being transformed, because we will transform our households, and we will transform our communities, and we will transform nations. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. And Lord, we ask that today, Lord, that you would allow the word to speak and not just me. Lord, let your word speak to your people. Let your word clearly illustrate what your desires are for us. And we thank you for blessing our minds, heart, and spirit, and causing change to happen because we obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's get to it here. So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. Actually, let's go back. Let's go to Romans 12. Let's start there. Let me introduce this series. We're going to do a series for a little bit here, and this series is going to be about transformation. So we're going to be talking about transformation from different perspectives. And what we've been doing over the last several weeks is we did a series about vision. And our focus on vision was not necessarily vision for the sake of having vision, but vision in the sake of how we begin to hear from God and what is God's vision for us. And we said that the ultimate part of that vision is love and how we operate in love. So God's desire and God's purpose, as we just kind of talked about, God's purposes for the church, is that the desire of God is that we become people of love. And in becoming people of love and becoming people of prayer, that love, kind of, let me back up a step. Love has two branches to it. It's first how we love God and have a love relationship with God. That's how we become worshipers. It's how we praise. It's how we actually go to the scriptures and begin looking at those scriptures and open ourselves up to God in that way. The second is, as we read the scriptures and we reveal that God has a love for us, is that we allow God to then make us lovers of people. And when you try to love people outside of the love of God, you hit the barriers, because there's layers of human love. And we said that that first level of human love is the love we have for families, is that you're born into a family and you love the people who are around you. Amen? Amen? All right. So you love the people around you. You're born and a mother has a child, father has a child. You love that child. Okay? The child can do wrong tomorrow. You're going to be mad at him. You get it straight, and then you're going to love him tomorrow. Right? Okay, so you love, and so automatically families have love, and that level of love is universal. It doesn't make a difference what nationality you are, what your culture is. The fact of the matter is, the people close to you, you can love. Amen? So that's one level of love, that familial love, that love that reciprocates. We love you, you love us, we love each other, and so we're together, we're all good. We said the second level of love is then when you love people who you don't have that relationship, but you can still love each other. Okay, so I have a friend, we get along, we're not family, but we still can love each other. You know, we may, again, have a spat, whatever, but we come back together, we love, okay? So that friendship love, I love you and you love me. But the next level of love is when you're moved with compassion. You love someone who has a problem, and you're compelled to do something or step in and actually motivated by love to actually do something for someone. That's another tier of love. And now you can by the compassion that you have, you're motivated to do something for someone else. Okay? Then you have love that goes to another step, that is love that is not compassionate, but it's love that you don't have any interest in. Okay, so when I have compassion for somebody, when I love you, I feel good because I've done something. So I feel good about that. But then there's that next tier down, is I see the need and I don't feel good about doing it, but I do it anyway. So that's a whole nother type of love, when I don't get anything in return. And so then we have God's love. And the Bible says that it says in Romans chapter 5, that herein is love, in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God has a whole different perspective of love. God's love is not just we love people who love us. God's not just into us loving people who agree with us. God's love is not just loving on people who we have the same ideas or we have the same understandings. God's love is when you can't do anything for me at all, I still love you. Amen. So when we start talking about how we're going to reach communities, the first thing is we got to get our mind renewed to what God's love really is. Because if we still think that God's love is when you do what I say, then I'll love you, then you miss God. Amen. That's not God. God is I love you in spite of. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and we get into this real quick. And we're going to look at it from the Amplified version. And it says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in the view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and your spiritual worship. And then verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world or to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its ideals, its new ideals, and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Amen? So the key thing here is that we present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. In other words, you have a choice. You have an opportunity to make a choice how you live. You can choose no matter what. Whatever we choose, God has given it to us as a choice. But he says, now I want you to present yourselves. You have to present yourself to God. So before I really gave my life to the Lord, I thought that I was waiting for God to come down and change me. How many feel the same way? Anybody ever had the experience? We're waiting for God to come down and change us, okay? But God says, no, you got to present yourself. Amen. You got to present yourself as a living sacrifice. And we had an evangelist come in from South Africa, David Malapo. And he said, the problem with living sacrifices is they always want to get off the altar. Living sacrifices don't want to lay there and be sacrificed. Living sacrifices look up and see the knife and say, no, no, not today. I'm getting up. I'm out of here. Living sacrifices see change coming and they step aside. Living sacrifices don't wait for things to happen to them. But he said, you have to present your body as a living sacrifice. You have to present your body knowing that God is going to make some changes in who you are. Oh, man. Amen. Somebody. Praise God. You have to present yourself to God. We have to. So when we talk about love and how we operate in love, we have to recognize that you're going to see some things that look like, man, I'm not going there with this love thing. But you got to say, you know what? I present myself as a living sacrifice. I'm going to present myself to God as a living sacrifice. But people are going to think this about me. I'm presenting myself as a living sacrifice. But you don't know what they did to me. I present myself as a living sacrifice. But you don't understand. I present myself as a living sacrifice. And so the cost for me for this is I grew up in a home where my mother and father got divorced and I got angry with my father. My father moved 500 miles away, started another family, had to live with that. And so when I got to be a grown man and we want to have the conversation, or we want to talk about it, let's have the talk about it. So I'm angry. I wanted to express my whole thing. But I fooled around and got saved. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, shut your mouth. If you're a living sacrifice, you might not get to express what you want to express. So I had to present myself as a living sacrifice. And I never got to tell him what I really thought. What I really wanted to tell him. But then God had to bring some healing to me and say, you know what? You've had a father. I've been a father to you all the way through. I've been your father all the way through. Everything your father could have done for you, I have done for you. I have brought you to a new place. I've done for you what your natural father would have only had to rely on me to do for you. Amen. Amen? God said, I've done it. So now let that anger go. Present yourself as a living sacrifice and love on your father. And so me and my father were able to mend, and God was able to restore our relationship. He was able to do things with us and allow us to get to the end of his life where he knew I loved him and I knew he loved me. So he took us from that place of human love that's not possible because we don't get along, and you owe me something, I owe you something, and we can't get along. He took us from there to the place of a love of grace, to the love that's restored. And so we sang the song, grace that restores, grace that redeems, grace that works miracles. And God's what God does. God can work miracles in our lives. God can work change in our lives. He can bring about new things that we haven't thought about if we're willing to allow ourselves to be opened up to God's change, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Renewing of my mind first meant to be is that now you got to think differently about what a father is. Now, and we said early on, we were talking about prayer. When the Bible says that our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, if we didn't have good relationships with our Father, we can't have a good relationship with God. Because there's a barrier now, because I don't believe in fathers. I don't believe in that. So how are you telling me God's my Father? That's the last thing I want. So we have to understand that we have to have our minds renewed and changed, even to take the word and allow the word to start working in our lives. Amen? So we're going to begin talking for this whole month. We're going to be talking about transformation, but it begins with first that willingness to say, you know what? I'm going to let God do something here. I got it all together. Everything's going well for me. But at the same time, I got to open up and see what better God has for me. What's next? What does God have for me next? What does God have in store for me next so that God can take me to the next place? God can take me to the place where he wants me to be. So now let's go to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to get into this. So the first message today, and this will not be a long message, but I just want to get into this. The first message here is we're talking about transformation, but the first message is the power of the Holy Spirit and recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I love you. Yeah, love your neighbor, amen. Now we're going to move quickly through a couple of passages real quick till I'm going to get to a point, but I want to go through, I want to show you a couple of things, and then we'll get further into this. So Luke chapter 3 verse 21, smile at your neighbor. All right, now here's the word. It says verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Amen? Amen. So when that point of baptism, and remember, baptism, can't say remember because we haven't necessarily taught this, but the reality about baptism in water is a representation of what happens on the inside, okay? So the true baptism happens when I give my life to God, and then I go then back that up and have it evidenced by being baptized in water. It's a public display of what God has done inwardly, amen? So when Jesus went to the water and was baptized, all these other people are being baptized, but only Jesus is seen with this dove, this Holy Spirit coming down on him. Amen? So he was anointed, or he received the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, now let's go to the next verses. I want to look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, so Jesus went and he was driven by the Holy Spirit. So now we see him first being baptized of the Holy Spirit. Now we see him now, the Holy Spirit, not just sitting in there doing nothing, but the Holy Spirit then driving him somewhere. The Holy Spirit taking him somewhere, motivating him, pushing him in a direction. So the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us, he begins to do that. He begins to show us things and move us into new directions. So new directions that we may even consider, new directions that we're not aware of. And he drove him out there, but he didn't drive him out there for no reason. He drove him out there with a purpose. All right. So now let's go to the next verse. We want to look at verse 14. So in this case, in verse 1, he drove Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so when he went out there, he went through this temptation. He was victorious over temptation. And then we get down to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Okay, so the first thing is the Holy Spirit gave guidance. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit, after temptation, anointed him with power. Okay, so there was a power that came on Jesus' life as a result of the Holy Spirit being in him. Amen? All right, so now we're going to read this a little further. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recovery of sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Amen? So he came with the power of God, and he came back and he began teaching out of that power. And what he began saying is that, listen, the whole reason that the Spirit is upon me is to bring transformation. So that those people who are blind no longer live in blindness. They're transformed from being blind to people who see, who have revelation knowledge, who have understanding. So those people who are captives are not left as captives, but they're transformed to free people. So this whole nature of why the Holy Spirit came to equip him to be a change agent, to be an agent of transformation, to be someone who can make differences in people's lives around him. So the Holy Spirit wasn't given him for what we usually think of. We sometimes think of the Holy Spirit coming in order to give us gifts or give us talents or give us those things. Those things are tools to accomplish this purpose. So we think about gifts of the Spirit. We think about those things that God has bestowed on us. Those gifts are not just to be gifts. Those gifts are tools to bring forth the will of God in the lives around us. Amen? So we are not only going to be transformed, but God is making us transformation agents. So Jesus began by going into that wilderness and being tempted and having himself transformed as a man who knew God to a man who has experiences with God. Amen? So when we personally go through temptation, that is what God is doing. We overcome the enemy. We come out victorious, and God makes us not people who know about God, but people who know God for themselves. Yeah. So when you know God for yourself, you become a whole different kind of creation. You become a whole different kind of person. You become a person who is able to not minister thought, but minister truth. There's a ministry of truth that comes forward when you speak with conviction concerning not what you heard, but what you know for yourself. So if you've been healed by God, you can tell people, I know God is a healer. Why? Because not because I read it, because I know it. Because my body is well, because I've had an experience with God. I'm not just talking theory. I know what God has done. When you've been delivered from darkness and God brings you into a light, a life of light, you say, man, I know God can bring you out. Well, you don't know nothing about my situation. Yes, I do. I know all about your situation. I've been in the dark. I lived in the dark. Amen. I made campfires in the dark. But you know what? I'm free now. I'm out of the darkness. Amen. So when you understand how God is doing a new work, what God is doing, we start to see, man, God wants to do more with us. God wants to make us powerful. God wants to do things. And it's not the big grand things of going to the nations, but it's the things that we do right here. The things that we do right where we are, the ability to right now in person with somebody face to face, let that love of God pour out. Let that love of God start touching people around us, because everybody doesn't experience love. Amen. We think it's normal to have love, but most people don't experience love. Most people don't experience genuine love that doesn't have a price tag on it. We all experience love with price tags, but love that has no price tag, love that shows up and it just loves you just because. You can't do anything about it. You can't give me anything to get it. All you do is show up and love is yours. That's the kind of love that we want to begin to operate. So when Jesus said, I came to set the captives free, all Jesus had to do was come into the environment and they got free. Why? Because there was something about the presence of God that brings freedom to people, that brings truth to people, brings rest to people. When people come around and you automatically get agitated when they come around, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Why? Because there's something in that spirit that's something's wrong. When a person of love comes around, you don't feel obligation. You feel relaxed. Why? Because there's no price tag. We said last week that when you love somebody and you're loving them from that compassionate level, you're doing a good thing. But sometimes when you love from the compassionate level, when that person doesn't do what you want them to do, we will shut down the love. Amen? Why? Because we haven't entered to that next level. We're doing a good thing. Don't stop doing that. But let's take it to the next level. So somebody put a post on Facebook the other day, and the question was, what do you do with panhandlers? What do you do with panhandlers? Yeah. Well, what if they're trying to get over on me? What if they're doing this? What if they're doing that? What if they're using the money for something wrong? What are we going to do about that? How are we going to love? What are we going to do as far as love is concerned? So the answer that I gave was pretty simple, was this, is that whatever you do, you got to treat them person to person. If you come up with an answer before you get there, you're not answering out of love. If you already have a formulated answer on how you're going to deal with that person, that means it's not love. That means you have a rule, you have an order already set in your mind. And if they meet the criteria, then you're going to respond a certain way. If they don't meet the criteria, you ain't going to meet it. That's not love. Is it a good thing? Yes, it's good. But it's not love. Love will get there in the moment, look them in the eyes, and let God tell you what to do. That will be love. Because sometimes giving somebody money is going to be a problem. Sometimes giving somebody money is just what they need. Sometimes taking somebody to a restaurant and sitting down and not just leaving them there, but talking to them is a blessing. But you can't know that until you look them right there and you let God tell you what to do. Let the love be the motivator. What's love going to do? That is operating in another level. That's getting our minds transformed. That's letting this power of God start to operate in ways not just way off, but wherever you go.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, when he told them about the good news, he said this. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." In other words, you don't have to worry about trying to go somewhere in order to get God to show up. Wherever you are is where God's going to be. Amen. Wherever you are is where God's going to be. And the thing is that because we know this about how we're talking to God, the thing that I can take confidence in as a believer is that I don't have to win God's favor.
Amen.
God loves me, and so God already has his favor on me. I don't have to win it from him, amen? So he said, now go out and proclaim. This is why I'm come. This is the purpose. And I want to go to the next step here. Praise God. I'm going to get back on these notes because I'm ready to run in a direction I don't want to go because I can't finish it today. So let's do this. Okay, let's go to the next one. I'm stuck in the loop, y'all. Here we go. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. So the thing that happens is that we say, man, that sounds good, but I can't love folks like that. I'm not wired like that. I don't have time for that. I can't do that. Whatever thing we say, the question is, how do we start to love? Now, Jesus said this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me for this purpose. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on me for this reason. And so the reason I have the Holy Spirit is to empower me to do something else, to do this. And so we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, which talks about now that we have the Holy Spirit, once the Holy Spirit is upon us, what does God then do with that? What does God give us with the power of the Holy Spirit? Because early on, I had people in my life who, again, when I gave my life to the Lord, I was excited about God, but there was people who I didn't care for, who I didn't really care to be around. And so one of those things that God had to start working on me is he had to work in me and stop trying to love them out of my human resources. Because the more I tried to love them out of my human resources, like I said, when they disappointed me, then I got mad and I'm ready to pull back. But God says, now you got to change that around. You got to start looking at letting the Holy Spirit become fruit to you. Amen. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and let's go. I know it says verse 22, but let's go back a little bit further. Let's go back to verse 1. Galatians 5 and 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So the very first thing is don't get into bondage. So you say, man, I heard the message. I got to go try to love people. That's bondage. Don't do that. Okay, don't let it become a yoke of bondage to you. Stand fast in the liberty in which Christ has set you free. Don't get entangled into a yoke of bondage. Because even when love starts to become a chore, you got back into bondage.
Amen.
So you got to continue to let yourself be free in this whole thing. Stand fast. Verse 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the law. In other words, if you start making laws out of everything, you're going to become a debtor to the law. You're going to lose out on your freedom if you start making rules about everything. Okay, so we have to understand. God has given us the rule of a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. I've given you this rule to be written on your hearts, this rule to now start to change you and transform you, make you a new creation in Christ. So now he says, don't get entangled and get into a yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the law to try to make the law work. Now we know that the law is fulfilled in the love of God. Okay, that the things that are in the law, they're still there for us, for our learning and for our instruction, for our blessing and for our understanding. They're there to give us guidelines to how to live. So you can go to the book of Leviticus and find all the Levitical laws, and you can say, you know what? I can use these. This is a good thing. It's a good thing to not be full of pork. It's a good thing to not be. Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing. You can find those. It's a good thing. But those things will not keep you out of heaven. So to make a distinction between the law and the guidelines of the law that God has given that are fulfilled in Christ, that Christ is a fulfillment of the law. Amen. So you can take the laws, you can take the Ten Commandments, and you can have those and honor those and know those are things that you're given, but be free in understanding that it's Christ. It is Christ that gives you freedom. It's Christ that blesses you. Now let's go over to this Holy Spirit discussion in verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So verse 22 is the key. The Holy Spirit starts to bear fruit in our lives when we walk in the Spirit. And the very first fruit that he starts to bear is the fruit of love.
Amen.
The very first fruit that the Holy Spirit will start to bring forth as we start to get ourselves in that position is that fruit of love. And again, you don't need the fruit of the Holy Spirit to love who loves you back. You don't need that. My friend at work used to say people used to get on her everlasting last nerve. That's who you need the love of God to love. When people get to the everlasting last nerve, that's deep down. That's past the sciatica. That's down deep. Okay? The everlasting last nerve down in there. That's who you need the love of God to love. Amen? You got to have the love of God to love those people because everything in your flesh is rejecting them. But the Bible says that Jesus was despised and rejected of men. Okay? The Pharisees hated Jesus. They tried to disgrace Jesus. They looked at Jesus and said, he's a problem to us. They hated him. But Jesus only corrected them, but he still, at the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. That's love. Love is that ability to forgive people even when they have not made restitution. Love goes to that next level. Real love goes to that next level. But you can't do that from here, and you can't do it from here. You can only do it by the Spirit.
Amen.
You can only do it by the Spirit and through faith. That's the only way you can enter into another level of love. Now, does that say, you know what, don't worry about it, it wasn't wrong? No, it was wrong.
Amen.
You was wrong as two left shoes. It was wrong. But I forgive you. But I forgive you. See, that's what we, again, we have a problem reconciling that it has to be either or. That in order has to be justified. We have to get to the bottom of the subject before we can forgive. But you're not going to get to the bottom of the subject. And that's what's so powerful when I think about being in the position in the heart to forgive my father. I wanted an explanation about why. I want to know why. I want to understand. But you know what? Even if he could explain it to me, I wasn't going to be able to understand it anyway. So you can try to get people to tell you why for something and try to get them to explain and get to that point. You can wrestle with them and say, you know what, there's not going to be forgiveness till we do whatever, but you're still not going to get satisfied. There is no satisfaction. The only satisfaction is letting the Holy Spirit come down and begin to bring forth fruit out of our lives. That the fruit of the Holy Spirit starts to do some work. And with that love will also come the rest of the fruit, because it doesn't come by itself. With the love of God, when the Holy Spirit starts to bring fruit in our life, all of a sudden the joy of the Lord starts to come forth. All of a sudden, now when I should be angry about it, not only have I forgiven you, but the love of God has now transformed itself into the joy of the Lord, and I'm not only not mad at you anymore, I'm happy to see you. Now that's the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah. Now we're getting down to it, huh? Yeah. Joy of the Lord. The joy starts to come. The fruit of the Holy Spirit starting to bring joy. I'm glad to see you. Why are you glad to see me? I love you. That's why. Woo, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I had the experience. I had the experience. And God is good about it. Amen. So what else we get? When that fruit starts to come, now the peace of God starts to come. The peace of God that goes beyond all this understanding. So the issues of forgiveness that trouble you, because even after you've taken that step of faith and you've forgiven and the Holy Spirit's bringing that fruit, the issues still want to attack your mind. And so you get along and you're doing good for a while, and then all of a sudden that dart comes flying back through, reminding you of what happened. And you want to go right back to square one. The Lord said, no, let that peace of God reign here. Let that fruit of the Spirit, let that peace begin to come out of you. And now, as we're going through the process of letting that Holy Spirit start to reign in us, now we start to have change. We start to have personal transformation. And our personal transformation starts pouring over to other people. It starts pouring over to the people around us. Because again, they can't win your favor. They can't help you. So what happens here is, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 really quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to look at it for yourself. I want you to see it. So when Christ has come upon us, Christ brings the Holy Spirit. So we saw the image of Jesus. Jesus gets baptized. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. The Holy Spirit then drives him out to be tempted of the devil. He's tempted of the devil. He comes back out of that temptation, victorious in the power of the Spirit. Now with the power of the Spirit, he then goes and begins declaring the word of God. He's teaching in synagogues. And then when he gets to one synagogue in particular, he picks up the word and says, now, this is going to be fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news. He's anointed me to do this and do that. So he starts declaring these things. I'm going to free people who are blind. I'm going to restore sight to blind. I'm going to free people who are in captivity. I'm going to begin doing all these things. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has come upon me. And God has said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So you need to know today that when the Holy Spirit came upon you, when you said yes to God, God said, this is my beloved Son, my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. So what, people aren't pleased with you? Who cares if people aren't pleased with you? If God is pleased with you, then there's an anointing on your life to do something. Amen. Then you have a power on your life to do something. When you recognize that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me to do something, then you know you have authority and power to enter people's lives and bring light instead of darkness.
Amen.
You have the power to walk into people's situations and bring the light of God to them and change the environment. You can change the atmosphere wherever you go because the Holy Spirit is in you. And he's going to bring forth fruit in your life. And when you yield yourself to God, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by you putting yourself in the position not to settle for what your flesh wants to do, but to settle for now. Holy Spirit, I'm opening myself. I'm going to let you work in me. I'm going to let you work out of me. I'm going to let you go through me. I'm going to let you speak to me. I'm going to put myself in position to let you bless people around me. When we put ourselves in that position, now all of a sudden, the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow out of us. Not just contained on the inside, but it starts to pour out of us. It starts to come out. And people get in your presence and they know they're in the presence of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They know that they're in the presence of the Holy Ghost. All right? So let's look at this. You need to know this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't look at people by the flesh anymore because I operate by love now. So I'm not going to look at you by your flesh because my flesh may not like you. My flesh may reject you. So I'm not looking at you by that. From now on, we regard nobody according to the flesh. We don't even look at people like that anymore because you'll get caught up in that. Okay? I don't like them shoes. I can't. Whatever it is. Dear Lord's looking at me like, I don't look at people's shoes like that. I just pulled that one up. Anyway, whatever is your fleshly challenge, because all of us as human beings carry bias with us. Amen. We all prefer certain people. That's real. So the people who don't fit into what we prefer, we stay away from. Amen. Okay? So he said, you got to no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. So that means when we're operating in racism, we're not operating by the Spirit. Amen. When we're operating in sexism, we're not operating by the Spirit. When we're operating by what we see visually, we're not operating by the Spirit. We have to get ourselves in that position. I regard no one according to the flesh. Okay, so I don't particularly agree, according to the Word, with homosexuality. I don't agree. But that doesn't mean I look at somebody and say, I can't be near you. No. You know what? I don't agree. Now, what do you want for lunch? It's love. You gotta get to the love. You gotta break through that. Now, because if you love people and you are with people and they know you're not judging them, then we can get down to talk about the truth. But you can't get to the truth from a distance. You got to get to the truth close up and personal. You got to get it. That's why Jesus had 12 disciples, because the crowd didn't all want to follow Jesus. You had to get down personal with Jesus to really get to the truth. And he had this big group, and they came and they heard him say something. They said, you know, that's a hard saying. We don't know if we can follow you. Amen. And about 70 people just said, deuces, we got to go. We can't be with you, Jesus. We can't be with you. You know, we don't understand this. You're talking too deep for us. But the people who were close enough to hear it and get down with it and understand what he was saying, to them, he was able then to steward to them the whole good news of the gospel. And so our closeness to God is going to cause us to be in position to know things. So regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we don't even know him like that anymore. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new creations in Christ. Amen. We are new creations. You need to reckon yourself a new creation. And every time the enemy tries to put a weight on you, or he tries to put on you a limitation on you, you need to tell him, I'm a new creation. I don't have those limitations. And the first limitation I take off of myself is the ability to love on people. The very first limitation I take off of myself, I can love anybody. Anybody. And when I started trying to teach this stuff, the first thing that happened is I started getting unlove from some people. And so then I get tested with, are you going to love anyway? Are you just talking, or are you really letting this fruit of God come up in you? Amen? And you're going to get tested immediately as soon as you say, God, I'm open. I'm let myself be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Praise God. The devil says, good, let's test this out. Let's see if your armor works. But this is the power. You got to recognize you have a new identity. And you can say, whoop, that was the old me. You know what? The old me wants to hate you right now. But you know what? I love you anyway. And you might have for a while to fight with the old man and the new man and say, well, you know what, that's the old man. But you got to start identifying him as the old man and move him out the way. So that's the first point of having your mind renewed, is the recognition that when your mind starts to go somewhere else, that you say, oh, that's the old man. Get him out. Bring down the new man. The new man is created according to righteousness. Amen? Amen. So we're going to close out. We're here with this last thing. So new identity in Christ. So when we talk about transformation has to do with, first of all, opening ourselves up, allowing our mind to be renewed by the word. The more we plant the word in our hearts, the more we start to meditate on the things of God, the more God starts to make change in our lives that take us in the direction of God's expected end for us. God's expected intent for us. And so sometimes we think the call of God means we have to change our scenery or change our environment. But usually the call of God means that you do something in the environment where you've been planted, where you are. Where do you make change? How do you make change where God has blessed you, where God has placed you? And so you understand that you start to operate in that. So transformation begins with us recognizing the necessity to renew our mind, to recognize, I don't think like God thinks. I'm going to have to open myself up to be renewed. I'm going to allow myself the opportunity to be renewed by the spirit of my mind and let God begin to show me the ability that I have that goes beyond my own understanding. So we believe that we have a limitation as far as the number of people that we can reach, number of people that we can talk to, number of people we can do that. We don't have it consciously, but we have it because what happens when we get in environments where people we're not familiar with, we don't talk anymore. We're not ourselves. We got a reserved us, and then we got the public us when the doors are closed, and then, okay, you see the real me now. We want to get to the point where our consciousness allows us to operate in love, that the real you, the love of God of you, is operating all the time. That it's out there all the time. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean if you're an introvert that you got to become an extrovert all of a sudden. It just means that the love of God just pours out of you wherever you go. Wherever you go. To strangers, to people you know, whoever. But it just operates out of you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for transforming us, making us a people of transformation, making us a people who hear your voice clearly and work and operate in the spirit of God. We thank you for the revolution of love in our hearts and minds, for changing us, transforming us, causing us to see everything by the lens of your spirit. We thank you right now that you will cause us, Lord, as a group, to be a group of people who operate in such love that we don't even regard the flesh. That we don't regard the flesh whatsoever. We thank you for covering us, Lord. I pray right now for an anointing of your spirit, Lord, to water and to cultivate the Holy Spirit on the inside of everyone here. Lord, let your spirit right now be released in the hearts and minds of everyone here. Holy Spirit, bring forth fruit in them right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for removing every hindrance and every obstacle to that fruit coming forth right now. We renew our minds and transform ourselves and let God change us from the inside. We thank you that the word that we have blessed today, Lord, that you would cause that word to follow us, Lord. Let the word continue in difficult moments. Let that word rise up in us, Lord, and show us how to operate in love out of the situation, to love our way out of every circumstance right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and give you the glory. We thank you for your word prospering in us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.